The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
In the middle of a global pandemic, WA has defied the odds, putting the lives of children around the world front and centre. The $46.3 million raised at Telethon will help fight childhood disease for generations to come. I'm absolutely thrilled to welcome to the show for the first time Telethon Chair Richard Goyder. Richard, I'm feeling a little bit dusty this morning. You're the main man. You must be as well. What an amazing result. You must be thrilled this Monday morning.
Yeah, thanks, Jenna. Well, I'm not the main man, but I am certainly proud to lead a small group of people from the trustees and, more importantly, employees of Seven West and Telethon, who've done an amazing job this year, and it culminated, obviously, last night in raising that amount of money that you just referred to, over $46 million for our kids. So I'm incredibly proud of, as you said in the early introduction, of the community of Western Australia's, for supporting Telethon the way it has.
It's just phenomenal, Richard. And I guess the really special thing about wandering around Crown and having a chat to people in the crowd that may have just been popped in because they have been touched by illness, they may be carers, doctors, or just involved with a company that's made a donation, whether it's big or small. You have had to feel the love for the fact that we just care so much for our citizens. Did you really get that vibe this year?
Yeah, it's such a wonderful weekend. And it's exactly right. And Janine and I went over to the Family Fun Day yesterday at Optus, and the same thing there, you know. And people are there, yes, to have fun, but they're there because it's Telethon and they're there because it's helping kids. And that's, you know, the picture of families doing that and doing that for the kids of West Australia yesterday was terrific. And as you say, last night with the telecast, again, just a broad-ranging commitment from the biggest, you know, the big corporates that you referred to, and big philanthropists who were, you know, so grateful for what they give, but to the families and the kids who give, you know, their time and their pocket money to make sure that our kids in West Australia, and as you said, it has an impact far wider than WA, live healthier lives.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I think one of the most, I want to call it a trademark Telethon situation, is little Nora, who was one of the Telethon children this year. She strutted into the hair and makeup last night with a tin full of her pocket money for the last 12 months. And she herself, who battled leukemia as a youngster, has donated, I think, $400 to Telethon. So it just that vibe, I hope it just, the residue of it just hangs around for the next couple of months as we get through COVID and things like that. That amount of money, Richard, it's enormous. Can you give an idea of where that will go specifically for people that may have donated, you know, in hard times? Because I guess a lot of people are feeling the pinch of COVID.
Yeah, so the first thing I'd say, Jenna, is that every cent goes to a beneficiary organisation. So nothing is held back by Telethon. It will all go, and we'll have a wonderful day sometime early next year, probably, where we hand out the checks to all those beneficiary organisations, more than 50. Mm-hmm. And it goes from organisations like the Telethon Kids Institute, who do, as you said earlier, world-class research on a whole lot of diseases and issues that impact young people, from, you know, sort of cancer that Nora's had to working, you know, on deafness and blindness and diabetes and a whole lot of things like that affect our young people, to smaller organisations that support families with kids who've just got incredible difficulties, you know, autism and other things that have such an impact on the child and on families. And we're able to assist those organisations to do things that help those impacted kids and their families have a better life.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a couple of months ago, Richard, were you concerned when the pandemic first hit, not only Australia and then WA, that it would be touch and go for Telethon this year?
Yes, I was. And Kerry Stokes referred to that last night, Jenna, and said, you know, in April this year, we thought, well, do we have a Telethon? And if we do, will it, you know, how successful will it be?
Yeah.
And we said, well, we have to have Telethon, because more than ever, those organisations that need the funding need it this year. So we said, well, we'll have it, and we won't set our sights too high, but, you know, we know we'll get some generosity. And, you know, we exceeded our wildest dreams last night from back there in the dark days of the pandemic. And, we hoped it would be sort of a bit of a celebration of the work West Australians have done to get through this, and I think it has been, and I think the generosity that came through over the weekend really reflects that we're extraordinarily lucky here at the moment, and people have expressed that through their generous donations.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, as well as chairing the telethon board and things like that, you sit on you're an AFL commissioner and also the chairman of Qantas. AGM on Friday for Qantas. How did that go? How's the industry feeling?
Oh, it's so tough, Jenny. Yeah. We're flying at around 20% of our domestic capacity at the moment, and we had our first international flight last week, which went from Perth to London and back to Darwin, bringing 170 Australians back home.
Yeah.
So that was our first international flight in months. So, you know, it's tough because we've got, at the moment, 18,000 employees stood down and with no work. So it's tough for those people, and it's... We're doing better than almost every airline in the world, but we're burning around $40 million of cash a week. Wow. So you don't need to multiply that by too many weeks to find that, you know, that has an impact on the business as well. So,
absolutely.
So that's why, you know, we really do want to see a sort of a roadmap for opening interstate borders so that we can get our people back to work, but importantly, get people connected again.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think, Richard, given that we had the news earlier this morning that there's been no new cases and no lives lost reported in Victoria today, this is a good sign, and hopefully that the WA government will take on that news?
I think, Jenna, it's a great sign because, most importantly, we've got two of our children in Melbourne at the moment, and they were pretty devastated yesterday when sort of openings got delayed a bit more in Victoria. And, you know, those people in Victoria have lived through a pretty dark period of time.
Indeed.
So it's great for them, and I think it's really good for the country. And hopefully we're very, very shortly in a situation where any outbreaks are contained, and we've got terrific testing and tracing capabilities across the nation to deal with it, so that, you know, more than any other country in the world, we can, you know, get back to getting people going, getting people connected and back to work.
Mm. AFL, over the weekend, the grand final, you missed it. Is that the first one you've missed in quite some time?
Yeah, it's the first one I've missed for a while. Devastated, but, you know, that's the year that it's been, Jenna. And, you know, I literally couldn't get there. And as you know, as you've expressed, I had you know, a range of priorities during the week. But what an amazing game. And a great spectacle, and again, the AFL is a bit like Qantas in March, April. We weren't sure how it was all going to come through, and we played a great season and a worthy winner and an exciting grand final. So, you know, I'm feeling very gratified about that.
What are you most looking forward to, given that you know, the AFL and Qantas will hinge so much on how we go over the next couple of months for those two industries, as the AFL is an industry? What are you looking forward to in 2021? The borders being open.
I think we all say we're looking forward to normality, but that's, I mean, there is a new normal, I think, isn't it?
And, yeah.
You know, a lot of, there's been a lot of good come out of this. It's been, obviously, it's terribly difficult for people, but, you know, I think we've valued our time with families. We've probably become more conscious of hygiene and things like that. So I'm what I'm looking forward to is how we can sort of learn to live with in a new normal, and but get crowds back to the footy and get families reconnected and get the economy moving, so that, you know, people can get back into real employment. And, you know, the economic support from governments, particularly the federal government's been, you know, amazing, but it can't go on forever. So, you know, hopefully, you know, I think we're better placed than anywhere in the world to get back on our feet and get moving.
Indeed. Telethon Chair Richard Goyder, hopefully you get a chance to have a little bit of downtime today because you've been very busy over the past couple of weeks. We thank you so very much for joining us on the West Live.
Great. Thanks, Jenna.